Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
It's a joy for me to share with you on one of our Global Work Sundays. Because I'm a member of this community and serve on the preaching team, but I'm also one of your global workers. I don't know if you saw a picture of Darcy and I up there. My husband, Darcy, and I are the personnel and family life directors for the international mission of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Put that on a little business card. It's a long title, but what that actually means is we look for what Darcy would say are the crazy ones, the ones like Jeff and Danielle who were here. She was a student at Trinity. And we began to see this desire to go to Bangladesh. And we look for those people, and we assess, and we train, and then we care for them. And so a lot of the travel that Darcy and I do is really geared around care of our global workers. Global workers are sometimes seen as the super Christians. They're the ones that come in and have laid it all down, and sometimes we're really in awe of them, but actually they're just people. And so part of our role is to help them be at their very best to do the call that God has in their lives. We love what we do because we love global workers. I pastored at Living Waters here for almost a decade until last year when we really felt God nudging me away from local pastoral ministry to something that we have called Zoe Projects. Now, Zoe Projects is an initiative of our fellowship, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, but in many ways feels like it was birthed right here in Fort Langley at this church. Zoe Projects connects Canadians, like you and I, churches, with the work that our global workers and national partners are doing specifically with women overseas. Attitudes towards and conditions for women and girls across the globe is not good. Women can be vulnerable, particularly in the developing world. A book that I read a few years back, Half the Sky, by Nicholas Kristof and Cheryl Wu Dunn, which I would encourage each one of you to pick up. It was published in 2009. They suggested that 107 million girls are missing from the globe today. And you hear something like that and you go, well, how is that even possible? Well, there's lots of reasons. Things like in many parts of the world, daughters are far less likely to be vaccinated than sons. And so girls have a harder time accessing healthcare. The advance of ultrasound technology has led to an epidemic of sex selection abortions where people are thrilled that, quote, we don't have to have girls any longer. Girls in India from the ages of 1 to 5 years old are 50% more likely to die than boys in the same age bracket. The best estimate, according to Kristof and Wu Dunn, is that a little Indian girl dies from discrimination every 4 minutes. 130 million women living in the world today have undergone female circumcision. Around 14 million girls, some as young as 8 years old, were married in 2014. An estimated 1.2 million children are trafficked into slavery each year, of which 80% are girls. We won't even get into the statistics surrounding education. Now, it's hard to hear statistics like that, but actually, it's an amazing opportunity for the Church of Jesus. Because I tell you what, the gospel at its very core speaks to the value, worth, and dignity of the daughters. Men and women together are image bearers of God. And this message is what vulnerable women need to see and hear and see demonstrated. So all of this was stirring in me while I was pastoring here. It probably leaked out. I know for sure it leaked out. But you know, I always say that leadership starts at that moment where someone says, somebody's got to do something. And out of that moment, Zoe Projects was birthed. So Zoe really is a bridge connecting people like us with our global workers and national partners who work in many areas concerning women, including education, skills training, human trafficking, giving women alternatives to the sex industry, leadership development, and most importantly, spiritual transformation. And we just believe that this is the very heartbeat of God. So that's a little snapshot of what I'm involved in. And so Darcy and I want to thank you for your ongoing support. It allows us to do what we do, and we're grateful for the partnership. Now, there's another exciting thing that's happening. About 4 years ago, Julie Simeon and I began to strategically develop female leaders here at Living Waters. We had a desire that women would see and understand the calling and gifts that God had placed on them. And we saw this incredible fruitfulness right away, right here. This actually has led to Zoe Leadership, which is right now expanding across the country. The Free to Lead conference we had last March, do you remember that? We're actually having them all across this nation, and we're about to go international. Again, birthed here. So your investment into Darcy and my lives and ministry, that's the kind of thing that's happening. So God is at work. I love it. I said last week, I wish I could put you in our carry-on. I'm sure y'all fit, and we would take you around, but I want you to see this little video. Video. I love little girls, but I don't know if you noticed that the little girl on the right actually has no arm. Her name is Shekinah. She's from a culture who does not really value girls. She was found abandoned on the railroad tracks, literally being attacked by dogs. When a local pastor, a follower of Jesus, rescued her, brought her into his family home, and in a single act changed everything for this girl. See, that is the gospel. If we read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 20, it says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. See, when we enter, or when we belong to Christ, we actually enter his life. We get a fresh start. We become a new person. Anyone needed a fresh start? I certainly did, and continue to rely on his grace day by day. And we become a new person, and it's not this thing that we have to, try and make happen ourselves, but it's actually something that is a work of the Spirit that he does by grace in our lives. And when we become this new person, our values change. Our priorities are realigned as Christ forms himself in us. We're set free from the things that entangle us. We begin to understand who we are. We begin to understand what we were created for. We begin to live as people were meant to live. Reconciled to God, relationship, and reconciled to each other, relationship. But with this gift, and Doug said this today, with this gift comes a great responsibility. God says that, or Paul says that God has given us a task. So this great gift isn't something that we kind of, this is mine, isn't it lovely? But actually, it's a gift that's supposed to be shared, and it's supposed to be shared widely. And Paul says that we enter into the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what does that mean? It means we tell others about the fresh start we got in Jesus, and that they can have a fresh start too. It means we testify about how we were saved from ourselves, how we were saved from our sinfulness, from living a life of just mind-numbing self-interest, and that they can be too. It means we tell them how we've been given a new identity, and we receive a new purpose, and that we belong to a family, and that they can too. We point to Jesus so that people can see how big God is and how much bigger God is than their circumstances. It's like we take shine this light, and he increases and we make him known. That's our job. And I tell you, when you're excited about something, when you've experienced something, that it's way easier to, you know, do that job because it leaks out. When we belong to God, we join him in his work. It's not optional. It's not for the serious Christians. It's for you and it's for me. And this happens in the Starbucks in Walnut Grove, but it also happens in the slums of Cambodia. We follow the pattern that Jesus set for us in the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. Now, I recently saw a documentary on the fastest growing sport in the world right now. Any idea what that sport is? Someone? What? What's that? No? Soccer? No? One more. Cricket? No. Video gaming. Isn't that interesting? Video gaming is becoming so popular right now that the sport is actually filling stadiums with people. Now, all these people are there to watch other people play video games. And now, I do understand that gaming takes incredible skill, of which I have none. Like, when I've got a controller, I'm doing this. And the kids are like, what are you doing? Anyway, but I find it interesting that people are content to watch the action quite removed from it. And I wonder if this is how we sometimes approach this ministry of reconciliation, that we watch, that we're very actually interested in it. We cheer. We get excited and we say yes, but we don't necessarily get involved, particularly as it relates to other parts of the world. See, global work is not an add-on to our regular programming at Living Waters. It actually is central to the life and ministry of this church. It is who we are, not what we do. So God is at work. Today we want to celebrate and give you a few snapshots of the ministry of reconciliation in action. God is at work in Siberia. We get so excited about what's happening in Siberia. This is Alexei and Tanya. Alexei is there on the left. That's me actually speaking to a group of women in Siberia. They minister in the Altai region, which is right above Mongolia. The gospel has been in Altai for about 50 years. It's a beautiful area. I mean, mountains, just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. But like many former Soviet communities, there are great needs in this area, such as poverty, alcoholism. I mean, this is a dark place spiritually. Darcy and I have visited a couple of times, and we'll never forget sitting with a Mongolian pastor who was planting a church. Alexei and Tanya were helping him with it. And we asked him, how do you plant churches? And it seemed like he was almost embarrassed to answer us. But finally, Darcy kind of pressed him, and finally he said, you know, we don't have a lot, so I just go in and pray and ask God to do something remarkable. Can you imagine? That's your strategy. Later, we visited a house church with Alexei in an outlying area, and we go into a small living room. There's probably about 10 people there. You know, here we are as Canadians, like, offering a little bit of Bible study. We spend some time in worship and prayer together, and then we're led to a table of food, where we know that everything that is in their cupboards is on that food is an offering to us. The hospitality is incredible. So we asked the hostess, how did you come to know Jesus? Like, how did this little house church start? Where did it all begin? And she told us her story, and she said, I was healed of cancer. God did something remarkable. So we went to the next person and said, well, how did you end up here? And they said, she was healed of cancer. Next person, she was healed of cancer. See, something remarkable. God was at work. God was increasing. There was a spotlight put on what was happening. There was no musicians. There was no lights. There was no in-depth teaching through the Gospel of Mark. As wonderful as all those things are, just Jesus at work being made known in Siberia. God is at work in Cuba. Darcy and I were there in November, where we went to meet Cuban leaders. And while we were there, that we learned that in 1959, when Castro took over the country, there were 300 Pentecostal churches. Right away, they began to be oppressed by the regime. And in 1970, less than 30 Pentecostal churches remained. I mean, people were hiding in basements in order to meet with one another. It was hardcore. And they tell the story about how on a Sunday night in one church in 1988, the power of God broke out and revival began. Now we ask them, what is a church? Is that like three people that, you know, meet together? And they actually define a church as 20 members in a community. So this revival begins in 1998, 300 Pentecostal churches. In 2008, 3,000 Pentecostal churches. And in 2012, 6,000 Pentecostal churches. And here in 2015, the numbers just keep going up. I tell you, when you look around the world, you're humbled. Because we think we got it all together and we got all our toolbox and we know what we're doing. Seriously, we have so much to learn from the worldwide church. Now, we had the opportunity to go to one of these churches while we were there, and it was wild. Maybe you can show that video. I hope there's... Okay, these are my people. These are my people. It's awesome. So we walk into the church, and I thought, oh, we're late. Well, no, we weren't late. It was pre-service prayer. I don't know when it started, when the pre-service prayer started, but imagine a whole sanctuary filled with people for at least an hour before praying for the service. The secret service are there. No one cares. Music's incredible. Dancing. People being reconciled to God. Ugh. They interviewed us because it was like kind of like leader to leader and just comparing notes and stuff. And they were interviewing us about how to send missionaries. And we're like, but tell us, how do you plant churches? Anyway, Cuba. God is also at work in India. Christo and Sarah Emmanuel, who we've supported here at Living Waters for many years. They planted Living Water Church, or Living God Church, in Chennai, India in 2006. They started with Christo and Sarah and his mom and dad. And mom and dad were not believers at that time. But if you know Christo, he's always like faith, right? Believing for the next step. And it's so interesting. Darcy and I visited them a couple of years ago, and I have to tell you, that was the hardest travel I've ever done in India. It's a tough place to live. When we were there, I don't know, it was about 45 degrees. It's a tough place to live. And so I'm watching Sarah, who's a Langley girl, going, how do you do this? How do you live in this poverty? The poverty in India is a totally different deal. And I'll never forget walking outside her flat one morning, and it is already, you know, you're frying eggs on the sidewalk. And there's people literally lying in the streets. And she walked out, and she just took a deep breath of smog. And she said, oh, I love India. Everywhere you look, there is so much opportunity. The gospel. They have recently started life centers. And at these life centers, one of the things, and actually Zoe Projects is working with her on this, they're really working to provide women with access to education and to learn some skills that these women can translate to actual businesses and work. And one of the things that they did right off the bat was they added childcare, which is huge, because that immediately took down often insurmountable obstacle for women that desire to move their families out of the cycle of poverty. Now, Life Centers are totally evangelistic. I can't say that word today, that's okay. But Sarah recently shared a story with me about a woman named Malar, who is in her 20s. She has two young children, a boy and a girl. She's from a Hindu family and began to engage with the Life Center, and she actually became a student in one of Sarah's first tailoring institute classes. And, you know, she took the six-month course. She was enthusiastic. They gifted her with a sewing machine. Husband's out of the picture for a lot of different reasons. And Sarah just saw her recently and said, "How's it going?" She goes, "Oh, it's going good, but there's so much work. It's piling up around me." And I just think, wow, that's awesome. Not only is she being able to provide for those two kids, but she's also a part of the church and moving forward. It's just amazing. God's at work in restricted settings. There's a country where some of our workers are that is close to the gospel. You know, our workers went into a community where there was one known believer, but they went in with the ministry of reconciliation, and since that time there have been 40 baptisms. You want to know how to do a baptism in a restricted access nation? Go on a camping trip and do it at night and pretend you're swimming. Our workers needed to come out during the Arab Spring because it was proving to be too dangerous. This past fall, the husband went back in to attend a wedding of believers. And part of the wedding was to do a communion ceremony. And only trusted family were there. And one of the aunties reached for communion and they said, "No, you can't do this. You're not a believer." And she goes, "I want to be a believer. I want what you have." And they stopped the wedding ceremony in order to lead her to Christ. It's amazing. God is at work in Honduras. Darcy and I were in Honduras last month and we were visiting with global workers who worked in the capital city there. They work with a community that was displaced in 1998 by Hurricane Mitch. Oh, I know. Okay, let's just show this. Okay, wait. Don't show it yet. Now, this community actually lives in the mountains. It was supposed to be a temporary thing, but 17 years later, this community is still living in the mountains. They have power, but they have absolutely no water. It's like they're camping. Take a look at this.
My wife, Leanne, and I just got back from Tegucigalpa, Honduras. We had an amazing experience there and want to share one of the needs that we encountered. Check it out.
I'm standing here with the leader of the community, Don Santos. And I'm excited to tell you that this is where we dream of putting a well.
We've just been through the community and seeing the desperate need that families have here, access to clean water. And you know what? I'm just so excited to be part of a community that cares enough to reach out and be part of the solution.
This is where we come in. We can help. We can provide the resources necessary to drill down 250 to 400 feet to get access to the water. This little piece of property, we're working on the ownership of it so that it can provide a long-term sustainable solution for Don's community.
So this is where it's going to be, and we couldn't be more excited.
Thanks for watching. For more info, go to poc.org.
That just makes me laugh. So it's really neat because we're a part of a larger family that's working to solve this problem. It's amazing. So how do you feel when you hear all of these stories? You know, we're living in really interesting times because there's lots of opportunity for awareness, unlike any other period in history. We just need to go to Facebook to get the headlines, and we can even pledge our allegiance by liking causes online. But awareness is not necessarily translating to action. It's almost like being desensitized to too many World Vision commercials. Over these couple of Sundays, we need not so much more knowledge about the need, because seriously, we haven't been living under rocks. We know what's out there. What we actually need is to be feeling the need. If God is going to use us in these ways, he begins by giving us a burden for the things that matter to him. You know, I think of Nehemiah. Nehemiah lived in a critical time in Jewish history. Jerusalem had been captured by the Babylonians, and many Israelites were exiled, but some were left behind. Jerusalem's temple and wall were destroyed, absolutely no community space, no place to worship, and they were completely vulnerable to further attack. The wall lay in rubble for 140 years. There'd been attempts to rebuild, but it never went anywhere. So Nehemiah is still in Persia, and his brother comes to visit from Judah, and he asks about Jerusalem. Think about this as men coming together and just kind of comparing notes and saying, how are things going? And it says in Nehemiah 1, they said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. So the conditions were appalling. They were sitting there like sitting ducks. Verse 4, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. Nehemiah had an emotionally raw response to the information. And what's interesting about this is that you see that and you think, wow, that's new information for him. There's something that you know, has struck him in a way that, you know, but he knew about this. The wall had been destroyed 141 years previously. So his entire life, he has known that this wall is sitting on the ground. But somehow in that moment, Nehemiah heard old news, but he heard it in a new way. And as I was preparing this talk today, I just felt so strongly that we need to hear what is old news to us. We need to hear it in a new way. And that is a work of the Spirit. Doug has asked us to take these cards. Darcy and I will take this card and pray over it, because we will invest here at Living Waters. We have for years and will continue to do so. But it can't be just a, oh yeah, you know, and fill it out and put it in. This has to be a work of the Spirit in our lives. And may we not just see the need, but by the very Spirit of God, may he show us in such a way that we feel it and we get it and we're compelled by his mission to be involved. Doug.
Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace in our lives. You are amazing, God. You have been generous to us, and we just want to be generous in this world, that you might be made greater and that your light would shine to all. And Father, we are so thankful to you for the light that we walk in today. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. In Jesus' name. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you this coming Sunday as we continue on talking about global work.